This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further in 1 Timothy with one mediator, I do not permit a woman to teach, on bishops, on deacons, and mystery of godliness. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death,
your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, whose grace always precedes and follows us, help us to forsake all trust in earthly gain and to find in you our heavenly treasure. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading is written in the book of the prophet Amos, the 5th chapter. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to first say it's an honor for me to be here today. For those of you that don't know me, my name is David Maxwell. I teach at your sister seminary in St. Louis. I've been in this chapel many times, but this is the first time I've preached here. So what I'd like to do today is give you two different interpretations of the gospel reading for today. The first one is a kind of superficial, obvious reading, and then the second one is perhaps a bit deeper and more troubling. So the obvious one goes like this. The rich young man is a cautionary tale. Here we have a man who loves money more than he loves God. And this is then contrasted later, after our gospel reading actually, with Peter and the disciples, where Peter says, Lord, we've left everything for you. And Jesus responds quite positively to that. He tells them, anyone who has left father and mother and other relatives for me, you'll receive 100-fold in this life, along with persecutions, and in the life to come, eternal life. And then the whole thing culminates with Jesus saying, there are many who are first who will be last, and the last will be first. And so you might think that the rich young man is simply an example of someone who is first that becomes last, and Peter is an example of someone who is last who becomes first. But there's one detail in the text that complicates this picture. It's a detail that only Mark records. The other Gospels do not. And Mark says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. And so if Mark intended the rich young man to be merely a negative example, someone that you should not identify with, why would he emphasize the fact that Jesus loved him? So maybe we need to look a little deeper here. The way the story goes, the man chases after Jesus and kneels before him and says, good teacher. So far, so good. He runs after him, so he appears to be zealous. He kneels before him. So he's reverent. He says, good teacher. So he wants to give Jesus honor and respect. And yet Jesus doesn't accept the compliment. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God alone. Now, why would he say that? I mean, if you're Athanasius, for example, and you're fighting against Arians, and you want to emphasize the divinity of Christ, you might wish that Jesus had phrased that a little better. You know, maybe what Jesus should have said is, you are right in calling me good, and no one is good but God alone. But that's not what he says. Because I think the question here is not, does Jesus understand himself to be God? But the question is Jesus willing to accept a fake compliment? I think what Jesus is doing here is he's seeing through the facade of piety right into the idolatry of the man's heart. And there may even be a hint of arrogance in the compliment that the young man gives to Jesus. Good teacher. You know, I'm in such an exalted position that I can graciously bestow compliments upon people, and I deign to call you good. I mean, it's a little bit like if I'm grading papers and I write good job on the paper. Well, it's a compliment, but it's a compliment given from a position of authority. And it subtly reinforces the idea that I'm the professor and you're the student. And so maybe there's something like that going on here, that the young man perhaps believes that he's giving Jesus a compliment from a position of authority. So that's what Jesus is rejecting. But then what about the question, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus simply gives him the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. To which the young man replies, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." Now, if Jesus were a seminary professor, he would have responded like this. What you said is wrong for three reasons. First, your question assumes that you can do something to inherit eternal life, but in fact, eternal life is a gift from God. Second, you claim to have kept the law, but no one can keep the law perfectly. And third, all of the commandments that I listed are actually in the second table of the law, having to do with your neighbors, but your problem is in the first table of the law because you love money more than you love God. And so this is a first commandment issue. But Jesus didn't say any of that. He looked at him and loved him. And then he crushed him. He gave him the one command that he knew he could not keep. Go, sell all your money and give to the poor and come follow me. Now, this young man was obviously adept at self-justification. If Jesus had simply tried to get him to admit his love of money, I'm sure the young man had the ability to frame the issue in a way that put him in a positive light. He could say, "Well, of course, you know that I'm wealthy, and I realize it's a gift from God, and I tithe, and I try to use my money to help people." But what Jesus does instead is he puts him in a situation in which the circumstances themselves lay bare the idolatry of his heart. He gives him a command so impossible for him that it forces the man to admit it, not in words, but in actions. The young man walks away from Jesus with sadness in his heart. This is a very effective way of dealing with the young man's idolatry. It is also a terrifying way. Terrifying because Jesus could do that to you. And I don't mean that he might give you a command that makes you aware that you're a sinner. He's already done that. I mean, he could put you in a circumstance that so lays bare the idolatry of your heart that you walk away. A woman loses her son and cannot believe that God loves her, and so she leaves the church. Or a couple is in a difficult marriage, and they know that Jesus' command is for them to honor their marriage vows, but it seems to be beyond their strength, and so it's not going to happen. Or a young man struggles with same-sex desire and finds Jesus' command to be unlivable, and so he leaves the church. These are epic fail situations. Now, I realize that since you're here, you are probably not in the process of walking away from Jesus with sadness in your heart. So I don't mean to suggest that this text, as I've described it, applies directly to you. But perhaps you've been in such a situation in the past, or perhaps you could imagine such a situation in the future. And so in that sense, you could identify with the rich young man. And so it becomes all the more important to understand what it means that Jesus loved him. How is driving him away an act of love? I think Jesus understands, because he sees into him, that the man is enslaved by his love of money and perhaps status more generally. And that, like Pharaoh driving the Israelites to make bricks without straw. This man's love of money is driving him to seek status and approval to the point that he runs after the visiting rabbi who's on his way out of town and kneels before him and seeks to extract some kind of religious praise from him. And Jesus wants to free him from that. And so he moves him from arrogance to sadness. And that's an improvement. It is better to walk away from Jesus than it is to kneel before him in fake piety. Because walking away is honest. It's an honest recognition of our condition. Now, of course, walking away is not the ultimate goal here. And so it'd be really nice to know what happened next. Does the young man come back? Does he actually give away his money? But the text doesn't tell us. So you might think, well, maybe we should identify with Peter after all. But Peter has his own epic fail moment. He too is filled with arrogance. When Jesus tells the disciple that you will all be deserters, Peter says, no, not me. I will never desert you. And of course, he denies Jesus three times, the third time cursing and swearing, I don't know the man. So no matter whether you identify with the rich young man or with Peter, you face the possibility of an epic fail moment. But at least in the case of Peter, we do know what the outcome is. We know that Jesus restored him. And so that gives me a basis for leaving you with a word of gospel. But I think it should be a word of gospel that takes seriously the importance of honesty that we've seen in this text. Now, sometimes we say the gospel like this. God looks at us and he sees only Jesus. But let's game that out for a moment. On the last day, Jesus is going to say, come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, where he will usher us into God's eternal kingdom, and we will get to hide behind Jesus forever. What if, at some point in all of eternity, God were to peer around Jesus and get a glimpse of who you really are? Is he going to say, how did you get in here? No, the gospel is that through Christ's death and resurrection, God has reconciled us to himself. Reconciliation is not hiding. Reconciliation means that Jesus says to you, I know exactly who you are. And I welcome you into my kingdom. Amen.
Confident that our Lord hears the prayers of his faithful, let us approach his throne of mercy, interceding on behalf of the church and of the world. That the faithful from every nation would continue to receive from the Lord Jesus his life-giving gifts and daily return to him their thanksgiving and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would bless the faithful with generous hearts, who give freely from the bounty that he has bestowed on them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would grant us civil rulers who desire what is best for our life together in this world, teaching them forbearance, wisdom, and humility. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the estate of marriage would be honored and upheld as God has ordained it, with husbands and wives loving and serving each other in faithful love and service, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
that all those who are burdened with illness would know the healing hand of God, waiting patiently for the relief that he knows to best give us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That all who receive the life-giving gifts of Christ's body and blood would be strengthened in faith to love God and to serve the neighbor. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That while anxiously awaiting the Lord's return, we may never tire of inviting others to hear the good news of life in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Grant our petitions, O Lord, for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen.
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us.
the body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.